twice. He's making history. Two times they have now impeached this president, and they're accusing the entire conservative population of such heinous, horrific things. I'm telling you, how the heck are we ever going to unite this country when you got everyone out there on the left pointing the finger at the right, making massive accusations? This is bad. I mean, we got 20,000 troops in D.C. It's like some kind of war zone. I'm all about being safe. I am. But wow, this is not America, not the America I know and love. Hello, everyone. I am Trish Regan. Welcome to the Trish Regan Show. We've got full-fledged insanity right now, a total political circus. Again, you know, I've said this before, I'm not for violence and never have been. Wasn't for it, by the way, back last summer, last spring, when the BLM movement was out there rioting and somehow it was being condoned. It was effectively being sanctioned, like, oh, well, you know, you got to riot when things are this bad. Well, I'm sorry. To me, it's never the answer, never has been. So I want to do everything we can to make sure our country is as safe as possible, right? So yeah, you got troops in D.C. It's a little weird, but I guess better safe than sorry. Let me just say, though, I would really appreciate it. I would just appreciate it if I could get back to doing my job as a journalist who looks at, examines, deciphers, and decides which economic policies are actually going to be best for our country, right? I want to look at what's happening in our markets, what's happening in our economy, what's going to happen with taxes, but I can't do that. I can't do my job right now because you know what? We got total, utter insanity out there, you know, and it's going on for miles and miles and miles, and it has me very concerned, frankly, about the future direction of our country. And this should be a time, right, where both sides say, okay, we're going to like settle down and we're actually going to try and work together maybe towards something. And yet, what are they doing? The left is doubling down on total craziness. They've got this congressman out there from California, you know, the one that took up in some way, shape or form. We don't know because he won't tell us, with the Chinese spy, Fang Fang. Yeah, I'm talking about Eric Swalwell. So Eric Swalwell, who's frankly, if you ask me, a two-bit nothing, who had something going on with some kind of, you know, again, we don't know. I can't say what it was. He won't elaborate. He just said he cut off all contacts with her when the FBI told him she was a Chinese spy. Good. I'm proud of you for that one, Eric, anyway. Makes sense to cut off your relationship, whatever it may be, with the spy. But that said, I mean, he's the guy that's on the impeachment commission. I mean, really, Nancy, come on. The Speaker of the House ought to know better. Again, if she wants this moment in time to have any kind of gravitas and not appear as a political stunt, then maybe you don't put Swalwell on the commission to impeach the president. I mean, this guy, I'm so disgusted and insulted by him. Every American, no matter what party you're in, you should be insulted because he just compared a sitting U.S. president to terrorist Osama bin Laden. Yeah, this is a guy who actually is in Congress. He went on to PBS, by the way. And you know what? I give Judy Woodruff credit because she did push back on him. And she's like, wait a second. You're comparing the president to Osama bin Laden? That's exactly what he did. Oh, let me give you the quote. Osama bin Laden did not enter U.S. soil on September 11th, but it was widely acknowledged that he was responsible for inspiring the attack on our country. And the president, with his words, using the word fight, with the speakers that he assembled that day who called for trial by combat and said we have to take names and kick ASS, that is hate speech that inspired and radicalized people to storm the Capitol. Oh, wow. Okay, so let's just think about what's actually happening here. You know me, right? Like I grew up in New Hampshire when I was a little kid. Some of the first words I ever read were live free or die on the back of every license plate. And I thought, wow, that's really, it's a noble expression. It's a good expression. And I've used that expression, right? But now apparently if you use an expression like that, which is the state motto of one of the oldest states, one of the original 13 colonies in this nation, if you use that motto, oh, that's a problem. Goodness sakes, Ron Paul had his Facebook account taken down. They stripped him of the ability to access Facebook because, oh, I don't know, he was talking about freedom too much, patriotism too much. The word patriot is like some kind of trigger word now. So now the president is getting called out and equated with one of the worst terrorists in history because He talked about how we need to fight for what we believe in. He doesn't mean literally, my gosh. I mean, like, he's not saying like, go get your weapons and go out and fight. And anyway, that's how it's being characterized. And so let me just say, like, I liked what the president released yesterday. You could see it on Twitter, on the White House official Twitter account. He can't tweet anymore himself because Jack Dorsey made sure of that. But he talked about the importance for unity and how violence is never the way. And I agree with that. I mean, listen, the conservative movement has never been for violence. This is something that, you know, the left has always welcomed. When you think about some of the violent riots that we saw in the 60s and 70s, I mean, there's one thing that you can do, and that's peaceful protest. And I'm all for that. But the minute it turns into looting or rioting or people get hurt, or in this case, five people died, that's when it crosses a line that we as conservatives, I'm sorry, we do not accept, we will not accept, and we believe in law and order. Therefore, you go through the courts, you do things the right way, you influence things by, you know what, being more productive and smarter than the other side. And I know conservatives are smarter. I do know that, you know, we've got the right approach because we believe in fairness. We believe in a meritocracy, and we believe in equal opportunity for every American so they can achieve the American dream, right? The American dream. That's what everybody wants a shot at. So look, we got to take a step back here. We need to analyze what's actually going on. You have a political movement and they've got a lot of cover right now, right? They've got cover because five people died. They've got cover because it's not right to storm the Capitol building. They've got this cover, but the fools that they are, they're trying to use it in a way that's actually going to dig them in a much bigger hole. And it's actually going to make people angrier. You got 74 million people. I'm sorry that you can't just cut off. You can't tell me that 74 million people in this country are bad people. No, no. These are people who actually believe in what this country is supposed to be. So don't demonize that entire group because you had a few bad actors, okay? That is not acceptable. And that's exactly what they're trying to do when they're equating a sitting president of the United States with Osama bin Laden. Emotions are high right now, but you start telling people that they're bad people just because they want to put America first, you got a problem. Anyway, the president said something really important. He gave a terrific statement. I encourage you to go and find it. It was a video statement, and he says, "I unequivocally condemn the violence that we saw last week. Violence and vandalism has absolutely no place in our country, no place in our movement. Making America great again has always been about defending the rule of law, supporting the men and women of law enforcement, and upholding our nation's most sacred traditions and values. Mob violence goes against everything I believe in and everything our movement stands for. No true supporter of mine could ever endorse political violence." End quote there from the president. Okay, he's right. He's right. And yet the left is out there spewing all kinds of really hateful rhetoric, going after the president as though he is one of the worst terrorists in history. I mean, this is just kind of a crazy moment. Again, I point out that they censured poor Ron Paul. Ron Paul, who, by the way, told me, I spoke with him yesterday. You can listen to it on the AmericanConsequences.com/TrishPJ. That's the URL to go to if you want. But I spoke to him about this. Good news. Facebook has said, oops, we made a mistake. But what the heck? I mean, at least he had the ability, right, to come to the press and to people like me and others out there and say, hey, this is going on. And so we raised, you know, H-E-double-L about it, as anyone should. But what about the person that's not Ron Paul, right, that just has their account shut down really for no reason because they just talk about freedom and patriotism and somehow that gets misinterpreted? This is sort of really not good. Right. And my heart breaks for our country right now. This is not a good place for us to be in. We are good people and we need to recognize that together. The left has made it clear they're OK with violence, for goodness sakes. Yeah, that CNN anchor related to the governor of New York, who was talking about that, you know, sometimes protests, you know, they're not peaceful. Remember that comment that he said? Boy, oh boy, oh boy. And then you had Slate.com. Over the summer that was pointing out in June that, you know, the protests aren't always peaceful. Basically, they were saying the exact same thing. And they were making the point that sometimes you need, right, to agitate and to get violent in order to actually invoke change. Again, I go back to actually what the president said, that is never right. That's never justifiable. As a conservative, I cannot condone that. And I know you can't either. And you know what? There's a right way to do this. They are going about it entirely the wrong way. Two wrongs don't make a right. You know, that's I guess, the religion in all of us there. But the reality is we cannot go down their path, and we won't go down their path. But they need to get off that path. Coming up, everyone, why impeachment makes absolutely no legal sense at all. I know. They hate him. So they want to go after him. They're trying to turn him into Osama bin Laden. If you listen to the guy that had the thing with the Chinese spy, the representative from California. I mean, none of this is good. None of this makes sense. It's such irresponsible rhetoric. At this point, you know what I'd say? I'd say this. The 25th Amendment would have been better, right? The 25th. And before you get upset, at least then it would be coming internally from Republicans. But in this case, it's just a giant political you know what show. Right. You got every single Democrat voting for impeachment, and you've got almost every Republican, aside from 10, saying no can do. And so we're not in a very good place right now in terms of seeing any kind of unification. And you know what this does? I'll tell you what this does. This makes it that much easier, right, for Republicans to galvanize, because now you actually have some absurdity there. I mean, the guy's going to be out of office in just days. So tell me why you do impeachment right now. You can't even have the legal proceeding that you would normally have in this kind of environment. You can't take it to the Senate. Oh, you could. You could. And by the way, they're talking about that. If I'm Joe Biden, I'm like, whoa, wait a second. You know, he's taken all the oxygen out of the room for 4 years. Now I finally get my shot. I've got my first 100 days, and you guys are all going to be consumed in the media and the Senate and everybody else with the impeachment trial of a guy who's no longer president. So the whole goal, right, of impeachment is to try to remove somebody from office. He's already out. And yet you're going to go through that charade, and really it becomes a charade. If they don't want him to ever run for something, they could probably strike some kind of deal, right? Strike a deal, have him go away. I mean, but you know what? I don't think he'd do it. I don't think he'd do it, because I actually do think that there's a movement underway, and he wants to probably continue to be part of it. You might actually see a scenario at this point where there's a division. I've always kind of thought the Republican Party had gotten away from its roots, right? They didn't care enough about the middle class. Middle class jobs have gone overseas now, really since the Clinton years. You look at the GDP chart. I love looking at GDP charts. That's me. I look at the GDP chart from China versus the GDP chart from us, going back to the Clinton years. And it's remarkable. It's incredible. Like, China has just grown and grown and grown and grown. And you know, you like to say, oh, well, you know, the pie gets bigger for everyone, but does it? I mean, do we really need all those cheap goods at Walmart? I, for one, might actually like and appreciate the idea of paying a little bit more for something that has a little bit better quality, right? Having a little less of it, but knowing that we're taking care of our people and we're taking care of our families, and people aren't going to wind up on unemployment or getting government handouts so they can buy cheap stuff at Walmart. You know, we just need to realign our priorities. And I think that the Republican Party, for whatever reason, there are many, and we will talk about them in the coming weeks, they got away from really caring about individuals. And there's, you know, both parties, frankly, have gotten away from caring about individuals. I would argue the Republican Party or the Conservative Party has always done a really good job, historically anyway, and the values, I think, are there in terms of focusing on how people can help themselves, right? Whereas the Democrats are all about, well, we'll help you. You just vote for us, right? Here's a few bucks. You're never really going to get more than a few bucks, because we're going to kind of keep you in a position where you keep taking those handouts. I don't buy that. I believe we are independent by nature. And so my philosophy is, yeah, you know, government's there to help you when you really, really, really need it. But in overall terms, the government should be there to assist people, to give them a leg up so that they can take care of themselves. And that's how we prosper as a country. That's how we grow. And that's how we improve. But basically, the Republican Party, right, they have not stood for the values that really matter to everyday people. And that is the heart of the problem. And so I'm telling you, I would not be surprised if you see a splintering at this moment in time, and you see sort of the traditional corporate bureaucratic types within the party vacate. Maybe they become Democrats. And you see the rest of the party try and rehabilitate itself and center itself and focus on these values. Look, I don't care what the party's called, what it is. I just think that at some point we have to start putting our values and priorities as Americans front and center, right? Which means making sure that everybody has a shot at the American dream, that lives here, that is a citizen here, making sure that everybody has a chance to grow and prosper and take care of a family. I mean, the idea, right, that you can't really make it work in society today unless you have all these degrees from these, frankly, in many cases, nothing places. I don't get it. I just don't, you know, like, so you can go work at Starbucks, whoop-de-doo, and wear your BLM Matters t-shirt at Starbucks where you're making like minimum wage, and you get all the student debt to pay back. This is crazy. So let's start to refocus. And I'm willing to take anyone that believes in this, okay? Anybody that believes in really bringing us back to our roots, which means helping Americans grow and prosper and have sort of the life that everyone dreams of. I mean, the American dream is a very real thing, and it's kind of gone away, and there's nothing wrong with wanting it back, and we should want it back, and we should be doing everything we can to help get it back within a legal framework. Okay. I feel like I have to say that because you can't talk about liberty now without, you know, getting the big tech all riled up. Anyway, speaking of liberty and non-interference from government and small government, et cetera, you know, Bitcoin is on fire. If you have not been watching this, you really do. We've had a lot of stories at trishintel.com. I encourage you to go to trishintel.com. That's my website. And this is the news, really, that I believe is worth covering. We have a lot of the insanity that's going on there in the background, and we get that out to you. But also, there's really substantive stuff. I care very much about our economy. I care about what direction our markets are heading in. So you're going to find some good stuff, including on Bitcoin. And Bitcoin's fascinating because it is totally going mainstream, and the government right now, anyway, can't do a darn thing about it. Wow, it is the Wild West of investing. It really is. You know, when I first started in finance, my first job was at Goldman Sachs, and I was on the emerging debt market desk, which back then was the Wild West of investing. I mean, we had crazy volatility, right? Because we were trading, well, Chinese sovereign debt and Venezuelan sovereign debt and Argentina and Brazil and all these sort of crazy emerging market countries. So that was pretty uncharted territory. Well, now Bitcoin is really uncharted territory. And I'm telling you, it's making some governments nervous. But I do want to point out, this is actually going mainstream here in a really big way. Let me share with you some numbers. So you are looking at currently increasingly pension funds getting into Bitcoin. Pension funds are now looking at this. So that's a big deal. I mean, we've got Massachusetts Mutual Life Insurance is a really high profile example of one of the sort of entities getting into this. They bought about $100 million recently of Bitcoin, and the company's saying, okay, we're comfortable with this exposure. We think it's okay. You have Grayscale, which invests in Bitcoin. It's an asset management fund that's investing in this. The chief executive recently said in a news report that pension funds were driving this growth that they've seen. You want to know what growth we're talking about that they've seen? $1.9 billion that was under management, right, at the start of 2020. So January 2020. By September, that had grown to $4.7 billion. Okay, that's end of September. Get a load of this. Currently, $21.1 billion. Okay, so they've gone from nearly $2 billion $21 billion in about a year. I mean, wow. And this is because a lot of mainstream investors are starting to get into this. They're noticing. What's really interesting is whether or not this can sustain itself, right? And I get a lot of people are worried about a bubble. You know, it could be. I'm not saying it isn't. This is a cryptocurrency which really isn't backed in anything, right? Except for this peer-to-peer technology. But in this kind of environment, guess what? Peer-to-peer seems to be increasingly more valuable. You know why? Nobody can go after your peer-to-peer Bitcoin, right? It's kept on the blockchain technology ledger. The blockchain itself is actually really, really fascinating. And I've done a lot of reporting on this because the technology that's behind it, I think, is really revolutionary and will probably govern a lot of our future payments going forward. But if you're a government, right, you don't like this. If you're the United States of America, first of all, you don't like it because you're not controlling the money supply. There is no Federal Reserve that's determining just exactly how much Bitcoin is out there. All the Bitcoin is hidden around the internet. You got to go mine for it like you'd mine for gold. Go to trishintel.com. You can get more on Bitcoin because I sort of explain all this. But it's out there. You mine it, you get it, and it's worth whatever people decide it's worth. And in this kind of environment where you know that Amazon can take away your server, where you know that, you know, your email list can just be decimated, that payment companies are going to say, okay, no more payments. Well, people are like, whoa, wait a second. How do I have any kind of security? And so I think that's actually what's fueling a lot of this right now. And we're going to continue to probably see a lot of excitement, one, about the technology that exists, but two, about this idea that maybe there's some ability to preserve your capital. Now, you don't have total anonymity. And in fact, I looked into this because that's the fear, right? From the government standpoint, that people could be enabling terrorist financing or really bad activities overall with effectively cash online. Well, it's not that perfect for the criminals because you can actually go back and trace it. But it's not as easy as say, you know, if you pay for something with an American Express card or if you pay for something with a MasterCard, they're going to know. So it's revolutionary. It's a little bit unknown. It's freaking the authorities out. And yet a lot of mainstream players are getting into this industry. So take a look at my reporting on Bitcoin at trishintel.com. We're going to continue the conversation tomorrow. So great to have you here. Make sure, by the way, that you follow me on every social media platform while you still can. I can't believe how many Twitter followers I have been losing. So they are just, you know, wiping clean the universe of anybody, I guess, who supported Trump or was a conservative on Twitter. So do follow me on Twitter at Trish_Regan. Parler, we're going to see what's happening there. I feel pretty bad for that company because it may be increasingly made into a scapegoat. I don't think that Twitter is that much more perfect. In fact, Jack Dorsey today actually made that point that, you know, maybe they should have done a better job. Yeah, maybe you should have done a better job. But right now they're putting it all on Parler. Facebook, I'm there at Real Trish Regan. And of course, I'm on Instagram at Trish_Regan. Same Twitter handle as Twitter. I will see you back here tomorrow as always. And in the meantime, on TrishIntel.com.